Our passage of Scripture this morning is Revelation chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The book of Revelation is it's a hard to understand book. And because it's hard to understand, often even godly Christians differ on how to interpret it. And because of this, some may think this is a reason not to preach on it or to avoid it, because it causes, they say, arguments between believers who believe and agree on almost everything else. And they say, let's avoid the controversy. We agree on other passages of Scripture. However, this book promises blessings to the person who reads it and to those who hear it. If they keep the things, if they read and hear and keep the things that are written in it. And I don't think this blessing or the blessings are contingent on a full and perfect understanding of the book. However, I think also it makes sense, doesn't it? The more you understand it, the more you increase your blessings. When I looked at the book before preaching it and thinking of preaching this book, actually one of the members requested this, and I had asked you long time ago, if anybody has a request of what I preach on, to request it, and I would preach on it, and I'm keeping my word there. But as I looked at this, you look at the book of Revelation, and you see the word blessing is used a lot, or blessed. And some of the times it's us blessing Jesus or thanking Jesus for what he's done. But many of the times are blessings that God gives us. And there are seven specific blessings in this book. The first one is the one I just read. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And some people say, well, the time isn't near. It's been 2,000 years. But we have to think of things in light of eternity. In light of eternity, 2,000 years is not that big of a time. And also we have to think of it in light of our own lives. How long do we have before we meet Jesus? And some of those things, at least the heaven and hell important things, are going to come to pass very soon, for sure, for almost all of us. Blessings number two in the book of Revelation is way in chapter 14, so I'll go in detail at that point. But it says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Revelation 14, 13. And it talks about, in chapter 13, right before that, a lot of persecution and people being killed, Christians being killed for their faith. And so we look at those verses and we see there's a blessing to those who are martyrs. And actually, it says the dead who die in the Lord, which in a sense, I think it goes to all of us. Then number three, Revelation 16, 15, there's a blessing for watching and keeping your garments, meaning living a righteous life by God's grace. Revelation 16, 15 says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Now watches, part of that is watching for Christ's coming. And we should be ready, because we don't know when he's going to come. And he can come any time. And again, as I said, we could die anytime and have to meet the Lord. And we want to be doing at that moment what pleases Christ. And so that's the keeping your garments rather than sinning and falling away. Four blessings. Number four, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Oh, what a glorious day that'll be when we are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the Lamb is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he's talked about in Revelation a lot that way. Blessing number five, blessed and holy is the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And there's a blessing that goes to that first resurrection, meaning true believers. And then number six, blessings to those who keep the words of this book. Revelation 22, 7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Again, notice that's the same blessing we have in chapter 1, verse 3. In the very end of the book, Jesus says, there are blessings to those who keep the words of this book. And so that's a very important part when we think of keeping the words. One of the things we're doing is remembering those words, maybe even memorizing them. The other part of keeping them, maybe even more important than memorizing them, is being obedient to them. And we'll see there's certain things Revelation calls us to that we should be obedient to. And then even in that last chapter, there's another blessing mentioned. Blessings to those who do God's and Christ's commandments. They will be granted entrance to the city, the New Jerusalem. Revelation 22:14, almost the very end of the Bible. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Now seven, and I do this a lot, this is my belief. Seven is the number of completion and perfection, and I don't think it's just coincidence that there happen to be seven blessings promised to God's people, which I think is God saying there's a perfect and complete number of blessings that we will have through reading this book. And how dreadful it would be to miss out on these blessings, to be on the outside. Right after verse 14 of chapter 22, near the very end of the Bible, is verse 15, which says, but outside, meaning outside of the realm of blessing, outside of the realm of grace, it says our dogs, not literal dogs, but ungodly people, and sorcerers, and sexual immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those people are left out. They don't have the blessing. They're outside. These blessings we will consider today consist of the following. And the first blessing is the blessing of, one, knowing Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation, apocalypse, is the word that means an unveiling, revealing of things that beforehand were hidden. Like there's a statue and you have it under a sheet and you pull the statue, the sheet off the statue, and everybody goes, oh, it's a wonderful statue and stuff like this. And what revelation of Jesus Christ, one of the things I believe is communicated here is that Jesus' glory has been somewhat hidden to us, even in the Gospels, because he came in a humble manner, but the book of Revelation shows him as he is now, already resurrected, already at the right hand of the throne of God, and we're seeing him somewhat in his glory. Not yet how we will see him when we are actually in heaven, but we get more of a picture of him than we do even in other Gospels. about Jesus Christ. The entire Bible is about Jesus. You know, the Old Testament prophecies, they point to Jesus. They point to his cross. In the Old Testament, we have types of Jesus, like Isaac, who was offered up by his father, and Jesus is the Son of God, the only begotten Son, who God so loved the world that he offers up in a similar way. And yet these are not just knowing Jesus, but revelation of Jesus Christ is the revelation that is from Jesus Christ. This is God's word, and it comes to us from Jesus. And some people say, well, which one is it, Pastor? What does that of mean? Does it mean of about him or of? This is the revelation he gives us. And I would just say both, because both things are there. There's a sense he will soon be seen by all the world, but the world's vision of Jesus will be a sad one. Verse 7, just probably what I'll preach on either next week or the week after. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. All the people who don't know Jesus, who laugh at our Christianity, when Jesus comes and they're caught surprised it's actually him and he's coming in the clouds, it says they will mourn. And they will mourn a dreadful mourning. And as we go through the book of Revelation, we'll learn about that. We'll see some other pictures of that. But here it's a mourning that they have. And that means a mourning, not like morning sunrise, but mourning like sorrow, great sorrow. Our vision and knowledge of Jesus Christ from this book is a blessing because we know him as the Lamb. Revelation 5, 8 and 9, right before the verses I read as part of the call to worship, it says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's what Christ has done. He's redeemed us by his blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. He is the Lamb who was slain for us, who washes us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1:5, which I will preach on next week, Lord willing, says, washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's the only way that we come before God. That's the only way we come to have a relationship with God, because he hates sin. And yet he washes those sins away, so that he says in Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, meaning the worst kind of sins, they will be as white as snow. And that's what Jesus does for us. And we learn about Jesus being the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world in Revelation. And that's what part of the blessing, because he is our Savior. Those who study this book learn about that. We have been studying Exodus. And what a blessing it was for the Israelites to be instructed about the blood of the Lamb. Exodus 2, 5, and 6 talks about the Lamb. It says, the Lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or the goats. Now when you keep it until the 14th day of the month, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And so there's this perfect spotless lamb that they were to kill. And Jesus is that Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In 1 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, he is our Passover. He is the Lamb. And then in Exodus it says, verse 7, the very next verse, this one is in your notes. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses where they eat. And then skipping ahead, because I'm not dealing with Exodus now, but skipping ahead, Exodus 12, verse 12 and 13, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. That was a great blessing to the Israelites that God told them, you have to put the blood on your doorposts. That way, when I come and judge sin, I will not be judging your sins. Your firstborn won't die because you have the blood of the Lamb on your doorposts. And because we have the blood of Christ on us, we will not be judged when God comes and judges sin. And that's what Revelation talks about, that too, his coming back to judge the world. We have the same blessing, but even better than the Israelites had with our Lord Jesus. As I read already, Revelation 1:5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so we come to know Jesus through this book of Revelation. We will see him as the King of kings and Lord of lords. We will see him as the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. We see him as the Lion of Judah. Secondly, and almost as important, a second blessing we get from Revelation that we see in these first few verses is knowing what will happen. Revelation 1:1b, which God gave him this revelation to show his servants things that must shortly take place. These things will happen. It's assured. It must happen. The judgment of the world, Revelation 1:7, I already read. He's coming with the clouds. He's coming to judge the world. The setting up of God and Christ's kingdom, as much as people might differ on the interpretation of Revelation, we all agree Jesus is coming back and that he's going to judge a sinful world and that he will set up his own kingdom. We might disagree on the timing of it, but we all agree that he will come and do that, and that is for sure. Of the increase, as it says in Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. When it says must take place, we know it has to happen because the zeal of the Lord is going to make it happen. Not just God's half-hearted effort, not his fingers creating the world, but his zealous strength goes into making Jesus King of kings and Lord of lords. And ultimately, when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're praying a prayer that we know is definitely going to be answered. Also, in this passage, not in my notes, you might want to add that these things are sure things, like you just said, must happen. One of the emphases of the book, and it will be repeated, Lord willing, in the future, in my sermons, almost certainly, is the certainty of the prophecy of this book. I believe the whole book is structured in such a way, and I'll explain that in future sermons, that it's emphasizing how sure, how, without a doubt, these things that are mentioned in it are going to happen. And so we know the future. One of my favorite movies is Back to the Future. And there's like three versions of it. And that's not everybody's favorite, but I like it just for one reason. And that is when this guy gets a hold of a book, and he's the bad guy, and he gets a hold of an almanac from the future, he's able, because he knows the results of sports scores, to bet on those scores and make himself a multimillionaire or a billionaire. Why? Because he knew what was going to happen. And somebody might say, oh, wow, I'd love to have a book like that where I'd actually know what's going to happen in the future. Well, we have one. It's called the Book of Revelation. It tells us how to be prepared for the future. How not to be deceived by things that seem maybe to be going one way when they're actually going a whole different way. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, some people might have thought that was his defeat. But they weren't counting on him raising from the dead. And the book of Revelation is like that too. It talks about the Antichrist seemingly winning and defeating the church and them all being killed who are professing Christ. But in the end, those who die in the Lord, as I read one of those verses, are the blessed ones. Thirdly, it's important to know how and to whom these things are communicated. It says, from God the Father to the God the Son, our mediator Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him 1:1. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. It's through Jesus that we have this revelation. And then it goes from Jesus to John and then to us who are his servants. And when it's saying servants, it's not just talking about the pastor or the elders or even the WIC leaders. It's talking about everybody who is a true Christian. We're all to be servants of God and Christ in one way or another. And then number two, it's from Jesus and it's sent and signified by his angel to John. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, Revelation 1:1c, signifying it, meaning the truth in this book is communicated through symbolism. For instance, Jesus is called the Lamb. This does not mean that he was a literal lamb. It is pointing to the fact that he is the Lamb of God, meaning he is a sacrifice who takes away our sins. It also speaks of our very soon we'll be reading, if we continue in this very far, of somebody who's going to be a pillar in the house of God. Well, if it's a literal pillar, I don't want to be a pillar. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. Well, if that means I'm going to be a pillar made out of concrete or steel or even gold, I don't want to be that. And it says he will go out no more. It means I'm stuck there. But that's a reward. And what it actually means is that this person will be a godly encouragement to others, a strength, an upholder of the church, of a holder, an encourager of God's people. That's what it means. Not that this person becomes a literal pillar and he can't move and he will be in the church forever. He'll be in heaven forever. That's what it means. He'll be always with God's people. The symbolism in the book of Revelation is important because, one, in some cases, we're enabled to see into an invisible spiritual realm. I think even as soon as we get to chapter 4, we're seeing the throne of God and we're seeing invisible things that we couldn't normally see. Sometimes when we see the demonic actions in the book of Revelation, we're seeing things that are invisible to us. That's why they're given in vision form. And in other cases, we're enabled to see broad pictures of future events from the spiritual and moral perspective. Things that cannot be communicated in just a word or two, because they're such big things when we talk about the seals. I believe all of history, in some sense, is in those seals, at least from the time of Christ to the end. And every little thing that happens, even me being here today preaching to all of you, I believe is ultimately included in God's knowledge of what's going to happen. And yet to put that all in words that we could read in a book without it being 70 million pages long is hard to do. And yet God does it by the symbols he portrays them to us through. And so we see that thing. And then it says John bore witness. John, who is the beloved disciple, John, who was the last of the apostles that wasn't killed, he says, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Christ, to all the things that he saw. And so we have John there. John, who is a lot like us, a mere human being, and yet somebody who God loved and used. The Greek word for witness is martyria, from which we get our English word martyr. And a martyr usually died for his witness. It happened to all the other apostles. They witnessed for Christ, and because they witnessed, they were killed. It didn't happen to John, but he was still a witness. He was still a martyr in that sense. Now, they died so often that the word changed its name. And we'll see that in the book of Revelation, that often the saints do die because of their faith. We are who are servants are not only pastors and elders or deacons, but all of God's true people. This message is one that he gives to show his servants. That means any of us can read this, understand it, know it. At least enough we know it to be blessed by it. Fourthly, knowing the blessings connected to the reading and hearing of this book. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Blessings in Scripture are opposite of curses and opposite of woes. And the book of Revelation speaks of the reversal and complete removal of the curse. When we get to the end of this book, we'll see it says, Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21:4. And then in chapter 22:3, it says specifically, and there shall be no more curse. The thorns and the thistles, the pain and childbearing, all the difficulties we have in this world, one of the blessings is they will all be removed. There will be no more death, no crying, no pain. None of these bad things will be left in the new heaven and new earth. The blessing of the book of Revelation is the blessing of knowledge. The blessing of the knowledge of God and of Christ. The blessing that I talked about to the children. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 17:3. When we think of eternal life, I think the first thought that most people have is eternal is in reference to duration. And that is certainly true about the life we have in Christ. But Jesus also says in John 10:10 that we'd have life more abundantly. And I think we could also say, because it's a relationship with Christ and with God, that the eternity or the eternal nature has to do also with the quality of it. It's eternal in its unbelievable, matchless blessings that we have in Christ, in knowing him and in knowing God. And so this is the blessing of the knowledge of God in Christ, which was actually my first point. And this is the best kind of knowledge. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. When I say the best kind of knowledge, you see, Jeremiah compares it to other knowledge, knowledge that normally we would consider good. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Well, where do you go? You go to college, and then you go to graduate school, and you get your master's degree, and you get your doctorate, and you become wise. And he says, let not the wise man glory in that. It's not as good as knowing the Lord. Or he says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Oh, to have a whole bunch of money and more and more and more and more. Many people live for that. They work hard for that. And yet the greater thing is to know the Lord. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. You know, we have mighty men sometimes. A lot of times in our culture, they're athletes. And yet, how long is that? I mean, 20, 30, maybe till they're 40. Very rarely is an athlete still go until he's 50. But let not that person glory in those things. Let him glory in that he knows the Lord. And we find that knowledge in the book of Revelation. Ignoring or neglecting the knowledge of God brings calamity and judgment and never blessing. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Romans 1:28. That verse, I believe, is talking about America today. We did not like to retain God in our knowledge. We made it illegal to teach the Bible in school or to pray in schools. And God has judged us. He's already judged us. He's given us, I'm not talking about the people in this building right now, but us as a nation, over to a depraved mind so that people don't care about knowing God at all. And we kill our babies in the womb. We have all sorts of every kind of sin that is now okay and celebrated. Why? Because God has given us up to a debased mind, and not knowing God leads to that. The blessing of knowledge is knowledge of the future. This is what people usually think of with the book of Revelation. But Revelation 1:1b says, to show his servants things that must shortly take place. These things will happen. And they will happen soon, is what Jesus is saying. It's important to know the future because many people will be deceived and already are. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 through 12 says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, even in Paul's day. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them, God even sends them, strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 through 12. Basically, that says those people who close their ears, like Proverbs 1, they close their ears to wisdom, they close their ears to the Bible, God will give them up. He will let Satan take them over and deceive them, and they will believe a lie. And Revelation, the book of Revelation, is one of the counters to that. It shows us the light of Christ in his glory. It shows us the truth about what is going to happen. It shows us that people who are living for the world and for ungodly things and sin are all going to be judged. Seek blessings versus curses now, for the time is near. Notice in Revelation 1:1 it says, shortly. These things are shortly going to happen. And in Revelation 1:3 it says, for the time is near. And this is where, you know, some say, well, it's been 3,000 years. Or 2,000. 2,000 years. Why? Well, how is it in any way near? Well, we know if it's been 2,000 years, and we trust Jesus said this, and he said these things must take place, that it's nearer now than it was then. And that's why we have to be ready. And as I said before, for each of us, because we will die and we will face the Lord, the time is near when we will meet with our Lord, whether he comes back next week or 100 years from now. We probably will meet him before the 100 years. Almost all of us, I'm guessing, that are here. Maybe some of the children will live beyond 100. But even then, 100 years is not that long when you think of eternity. And so Scripture tells us, Ephesians 5:15 through 17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Meaning, we can die any day. Even a child can die today. We have no guarantee. And the Lord can come back any day. He could come back even, I'm about to finish this sermon, but he could come back before I finish. And it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The book of Revelation reveals to us first our Lord Jesus Christ, and then it reveals to us things that must shortly take place, things that are the time is near for. And if it's already been 2,000 years, we know that it's even nearer since that time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this book of Revelation, this book that is full of blessings. And Father, we pray that we might have a heart for those blessings as we study this word, that you'd lead and guide us into the kind of keeping of this word that is necessary, the kind of understanding of this word that is needed to maximize our blessings. Father, we would be the people who are blessed, not the ones who are cursed, not the ones that undergo a woe. And part of a blessing is avoiding the woe and avoiding the curse and avoiding the way that is the lie that some people, maybe many people, will believe. And Father, this book of Revelation, it helps us to avoid those things. And so, Father, we pray that you'd bless us as we study this, not just today, but as we study it in the near future, and help us to understand it and apply it to our lives. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.